Welcome to this week's podcast of Glimmers in the Fog. Our topic today is the invincibility of God's plan for your life. No matter what you've done or what you'll do, a repentant and yielded son or daughter of the King will always have a place in His throne room. That truth is often hard to believe, however, when we've made stupid mistakes, tangled our lives up in sin, or blazed a trail in entirely the wrong direction. Though the Bible says God can redeem any soul in any situation for His glory, even the most ardent of believers have found themselves mired in the mud of regret, shame, or doubt at one time or another. But our glorious Father never gives up on us, constantly designing a plan to use us for His glory that is usually surprising in more ways than one. Join me now as we explore the all-encompassing and intensely compassionate nature of God. When we're born, God's plan for us is like a newly constructed wall of a house, envisioned and intricately designed to glorify Him long before we are conceived in the womb. His plan is strong, smooth, and completely clear of any dings, marks, or ridges. Like an unaltered wall, its beauty is defined by its simplicity, flawlessness, and indisputable purpose in life. And then, we mess it up. Our mistakes start immediately, if not innocently. After all, who can blame a three-year-old for not admiring such a blank canvas and believing that a red magic marker wouldn't improve it in some way? But then as we grow, the dents, dings, and marks appear everywhere, eventually leaving permanent scars deep into the studs behind the exterior veneer of the drywall. This analogy recently hit home with me as I thought about how much I will miss my house. My husband and I are in the process of relocating to another state, and it has been difficult to release some aspects of our current living situation. Although we have always tried to receive God's blessing with open hands, as opposed to hanging on to them so tightly that they become more important than hanging on to Him, it is still difficult to think about moving on and opening our hearts up to the next steps of His plan. It may sound silly or perhaps trivial, but there are two walls in my house that I'm really going to miss, each for different reasons. One wall is in our guest bedroom, which is covered floor to ceiling with reclaimed wood from the original 1930s camp that used to stand on our property. What makes it so beautiful are all the marks and scars of nature's wrath, coupled with the visible reminders of a bygone era. The other wall is likewise remarkable because of its imperfections and its surprising location. It's in the bathroom across the hall. And while I never would have imagined that I could both admire and miss a bathroom, I will miss this one because it reminds me of the beauty God can bring out of mistakes. Initially, the bathroom's walls were intended to be plain and smooth. We had planned for the decorative highlight of the room to be the colorful tile in the shower. But due to some severe painting blunders, our plans for its appearance would either have to change, or we would have to start all over with some copious amounts of sanding, spackling, sanding again, and then primer. But instead of trying to remove our mistakes, we opted to add a new layer of texture using a technique we learned years before to cover up a similar error in our previous house. As a result, more visitors in our home have admired and commented about our guest bath than our living room or kitchen. One of the smallest rooms in our house makes the most significant impression because of the unique beauty that arose out of the ashes of error. And it reminds me that when we yield the paintbrush to the superior painter, any ding on our lives can be redeemed. While it may seem odd to find so much spiritual analogy from a bathroom wall of all things, it's not the slightest bit strange to God. After all, who are we to Him? Psalms 113, 4 through 8 says, "The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is seated on high? Who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of His people." A bathroom might appear to be one of the lowliest rooms in your house, second only to the closets, but that doesn't mean it isn't one of the most important. What we often see as the lowliest areas of our lives, the most unremarkable or even most tragic parts of our story, are the very canvases on which God intends to display His glory. As I think back on the original mistake, which led us to alter our plans for that wall, I can remember my utter discouragement. Time crunches and stress have a way of magnifying our regrets and the pain from our mistakes. Because we were building our home on a tight budget, we had opted to do all the interior painting ourselves. Our sweet friends flooded us with generosity, helping us do some painting and landscaping. Like an old-fashioned barn raising, our house was only finished through the hard work and kindness of others, and none too soon, considering members of our West Coast family would be coming to visit in a few short weeks after the drywall was finished. So it was in a state of pressure that we realized our mistake and that the bathroom would have to be done all over again or redeemed in some other way. While it seems trivial now, I can remember feeling completely overwhelmed at the thought of redoing the wall treatments in that room. At the time, I never could have realized how that mistake could be transformed not only into something uniquely beautiful, but also a treasured memory of God's hand in our lives. All of this doesn't mean that the new texture on the walls was perfect. In fact, its haphazard nature is what makes it so attractive and different from what most people would expect for a bathroom. Even more fun for me is that I can still recall where the mistakes are and immediately find the seams of the texture treatment. While the casual onlooker only notices the overall effect, I not only see but have also come to admire the subtle remains of the work in progress. And this is often like the progression of God's handiwork in our lives. We can still see the trail left behind by our tears or the scars remaining by our past sins, but God masterfully blends them into His plan to enhance its appeal so that others may view our lives and be drawn to Him. When He gives us a makeover or adds a new texture to our souls, He leaves behind evidence so we know the end result is for His glory and nothing that we can take credit for. Otherwise, we would all walk around displaying the arrogance of our accomplishments and the conceit of our own personal growth. The Apostle Paul knew a great deal about God's makeovers and texturizing skills. Before his encounter with the risen Christ, Paul had well-laid, highly practical plans in place for his life. Steeped in knowledge, with the training and expertise to build a lucrative and successful career as a religious zealot with Roman citizenship, he had it made. His passions were endorsed by the religious elite, culturally accepted and protected by the mighty Roman Empire. By today's standards, he was on his way to the top in terms of power, prestige, and prosperity. And he loved his work. But God had a plan for Paul that would be implemented at any cost. No amount of alteration or expense would be spared. And although Paul had done everything possible, both unknowingly and intentionally, to thwart God's purposes for his life, the love of Jesus was generous enough to come to the rescue. So many of us have made such serious mistakes in our lives that we think we've ruined God's plan. We believe we've gone too far, one too many times. Deep in a pit of self-loathing, we look up and we can't see any sunlight. We know we deserve to be in the bottom of the pit, yet we don't see or won't allow ourselves to see the ladder that's sitting there providing the way out. Besides, we tell ourselves if we did get out of this pit or find our way back from this ridiculous detour, people would see our stupidity, our sins, or our weaknesses all over us. We will be forever marred as fallen or unlovable or greedy or whatever other dent or ding we left on God's wall. Even worse, some of us have an affliction or a flaw that will always be visible and might interfere with what others would expect us to achieve for God or to behave in a specific manner. But like the wall in my house, God always has a plan to use all of you, not just a part of you. Not the most appealing aspect of your character, not only your best skills or notable talents, He will use every single part. Hear this truth from Titus 3:3-7, my fellow mistake maker. It says, "Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of His grace, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Despite all of the miraculous work, clearly administered by God and not Paul, the temptation to become proud of his transformation and subsequent accomplishments lingered throughout Paul's life. Here's how he puts it in the Message version of 2 Corinthians 12:6-12. If I had a mind to brag a little, I could probably do it without looking ridiculous, and I'd still be speaking plain truth all the way. But I'll spare you. I don't want anyone imagining me as anything other than the fool you'd encounter if you saw me on the street or heard me talk. Because of the extravagance of these revelations, so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down. What he did, in fact, was push me to my knees. No danger, then, of walking around high and mighty. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift, and I begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that, and then He told me, "My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness." Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. Our mistakes, sins, distractions, and misguided dreams may alter or delay God's plan for our lives, but they can never destroy its existence. There is nothing we can do to remove the divine architect's design for our lives, which is built upon His unending love. Not our intentions, not our skills, not our strengths. No, Scripture tells us it's built upon our weaknesses. The path we end up on may not look like anything we thought it would be, but when we find our way back to Him, we turn over our willful stubbornness and come to Him with a repentant heart. He will always take our messes and turn them into His glory. It may take a while. In fact, it may take a long time. It may be uncomfortable. Things might even seem to get worse before they get better, but Jesus whispers to our souls during the entire process. He promises to stay with us through the transformation, and He guarantees that His way is better than our own. Romans 8:37 assures us that we are more than conquerors over anything through the power of Jesus. One day, we will be flawless before our Savior. One day, everything that happens here will all be worth it. Open your heart to hear what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:22-24. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for He who calls you is faithful. We may not always be comfortable in the process of becoming holy, but what we can always rest in is God's wisdom to take us down the right path, His promise to complete the work, and His abiding presence in the journey. As you listen to the podcast today, you may have found yourself wondering, how could I compare to someone like the Apostle Paul? But I am absolutely confident that if He could speak to you right now, He would be the first to reveal His own endless weaknesses in the light of His treasured Savior. When God looks at those who call Him King of their hearts, He sees us through the sacrifice of Jesus. Like the ultimate Photoshop job, the work of Jesus on the cross makes us blameless and flawless before our Father. With that promise of mercy, how can we not bow down and worship at His feet? How can we not lift our heads to look out of the pit of regret, shame, doubt, and despair and begin to climb towards the light of our Savior? No matter how many times we fall, He'll always lend a hand. Thank you for listening to Glimmers in the Fog. I pray that these weekly messages will help you see your value in Jesus and usher in an encounter with Him in a fresh way. If today's message touched your heart, why not pray and ask God what He would like you to do about it? You may want to study this topic further, and if so, I've provided a daily guide with questions for reflection on my blog. You'll find the link in the episode description. Or maybe God has reminded you of someone you know who needs to hear this message. Take a moment and share it with them. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. If you liked it, you might want to listen to back episodes and, most importantly, become a subscriber so you don't miss out on encouraging topics like these. I look forward to seeing you again next week, and in the meantime, I would love to hear from you on my blog or in social media.